Thursday, November 5th, 2020 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, please call the roll.
Daly.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the council are attending remotely by video and teleconference, and the city has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available on the city's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to council by emailing the council clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and to promote social distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you all for your patience, your flexibility, and your understanding as we manage through this challenging situation to do the city's business. And ordinarily, I would have legal counsel read the rules of order and decorum. We are not taking public testimony today, but I'll leave it up to the discretion of legal counsel to decide whether or not they would like to read the rules of order and decorum.
I'm perfectly fine not reading them.
I do not think it is necessary. If that changes, we can always come back to it. Keelan, we have one issue for this afternoon. It's the fall supplemental budget, item number 890, a continued hearing.
Adopt the FY 2020-21 fall supplemental budget and make other budget related changes.
Thank you for that. So this is a continuation of last Wednesday's hearing on the fall supplemental budget. The updated council documents which you've received include all of the amendments that were introduced during that hearing. Those amendments are already on the table. They have been proposed, they have been seconded. We will start by hearing any new amendments and then vote on all of the amendments in order. I'll go ahead and kick us off. I have a new amendment that I would like to list as Wheeler Amendment Number 7. I'd like to move to make the following adjustments to the supplemental budget as proposed. I'd like to increase Bureau program expenses in the Special Appropriations General Fund for the Emergency Coordination Center Food Security Program by $1,542,036 on a one-time basis. I'd like to increase Bureau program expenses in the Prosper Portland General Fund by $300,000 for Central City Small Business Repair Grants to support local small businesses and nonprofits, in particular those that have been impacted by recent criminal destruction. I'd like to decrease the General Fund policy set aside for the future Sobering Center contract by $1,842,036 on a one-time basis to fund this change. The reason for that is because we will not be able to expend those dollars during the remainder of this calendar year. The work on the Sobering Center, in fact, I just received an update a few hours ago, is very much moving forward. And then, of course, I'd like to update exhibits 1 through 5 as needed to reflect this change. So just briefly, I'm using the available resources in the policy set aside for the future Sobering Center that we won't need in this fiscal year to support urgent community needs. The majority will fund the continuation of ECC food security programs for the remainder of the fiscal year. $300,000 will go to Prosper Portland for Central City Business Repair Grants to support local small businesses who've been impacted by economic shocks from the pandemic, compounded by recent physical damages. And the $300,000 in general fund would leverage $150,000 in tax increment finance resources to provide immediate physical repair grants to support approximately 45 small businesses. And we'll leave it right there. Can I get a second?
Second.
We have a second.
Second.
Commissioner Fritz. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Does anybody else have any other additional amendments that they would like to provide at this?
I do.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to amend the supplemental budget as proposed to add Directive J. Council directs Portland Parks and Recreation to bring forward an interfund loan in early calendar year 2021 to facilitate spending against future levy proceeds as approved by Portland voters in Measure 26-213, which are anticipated to be collected starting in November 2021. This loan will include funding for a levy coordinator, estimated at $175,000, and the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center feasibility study for $250,000, which are expected to move forward prior to authorization of the loan. Any expense charged against the general fund for the levy coordinator or the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center feasibility study following passage of the full supplemental budget, but prior to the authorization of the loan, will be transferred to and charged against the new levy fund.
I'll second that, Commissioner Fritz. And could I also ask a clarifying question? This sounds like the vehicle is tax anticipation notes, or what's the specific vehicle?
It's Adina Long's on the call, so maybe we could ask her for clarification.
Thanks.
Director Long, are you able to answer the next question?
This is Claudio Camposano.
Hi, Claudio. I just wanted to know what the vehicle was.
Sure, it's an interfund loan between Parks Construction Fund. We've got STC balance available that we would be able to loan on a short-term basis.
Okay, good. I still support that, and I'd like to make a minor change to a prior amendment. This does not require a motion or a second, I don't believe. Actually, it might require it. So this is Amendment 5. This was the one that transferred management of PPB housing and services contract from the service coordination team to the Joint Office of Homeless Services. I need to introduce a motion to modify the amendment, correcting the dollar figure. The dollar figure was off slightly. It is a smaller dollar figure. That's the good news. I'd like to correct the dollar figure to $2,159,003, which is the actual amount of the contract excluding personnel costs. Can I get a second on that amendment to my Amendment 5?
Second.
Thank you. Are there any further questions on that? I'd like to vote on that just so the amendment is clean when we actually vote on Amendment 5. Keelan, please call the roll on the amendment to Amendment 5.
You, Daly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Wheeler?
All right, thank you, colleagues. The amendment to Amendment 5 passes, so we'll discuss Amendment 5 when we get to it as amended. Any other amendments? Commissioner Fritz has put her amendment on the table. Colleagues, any further amendments that you'd like to put on the table before we go through each of the amendments that have been moved and seconded? Seeing none, very good.
Mayor?
Lori, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. I received some documents indicating that you were going to make a motion to amend previous amendment number 3. It's just the amount?
Negative on that. It was somebody must have given you the wrong number. It was
okay.
Amendment 5 we needed to amend.
Okay,
was the
thank
amount.
You.
So sorry about that. Commissioner Fritz.
I'm being notified that there was a second amendment from Parks. Sorry about that.
All right, go ahead. Let's hear it.
Scroll down.
And by the way, Commissioner, before I forget, the last one on the interagency loan, I'm calling Fritz number 7, just so we keep all of these straight. So this
thank
new
you
one
so
will,
much.
Be, will be Fritz 8.
Thank you, and thanks to both Claudio and Adina for helping me out here. Move to make the following adjustments to the supplemental budget as proposed. 1, authorize 1.0 regular permanent FTE in Portland Parks and Recreation to serve as the levy coordinator. 2, this position is estimated to cost $175,000 annually and will be supported by proceeds from the local operating levy authorized by Portland voters through Measure 26-213 in November 2020. Per Directive J, this position will be temporarily supported by an interfund loan to be brought forward for council authorization in early 2021, which will allow spending against future levy proceeds to be temporarily backed by available resources in the Parks Capital Improvement Program Fund from system development charges. 3, update exhibits 1-5 as needed to reflect this change.
Yeah, good. I'll second that because this is the position authority that goes with the resources that would be included under Fritz 7. So I'll second Fritz 8. Good. Anybody else? All right, we will get to the amendments then in order. We will go ahead and just do them in order of the way they were done. We'll start with Commissioner Udaly's amendments, and I will do my level best to keep all of this straight in everybody's head. So you Commissioner Udaly, her amendment was the Oregon Workers, was related to the Oregon Workers Relief Fund. Is there any further discussion on that, or Commissioner Udaly, anything else you'd like to include in that?
Nope.
Very good. All right. Keelan, please call the roll on.
Ma'am. Excuse me, Mayor.
Is this Commissioner Fritz? Sorry.
I just wanted to get your input on this amendment, please.
I support it.
Thank you.
Keelan, go ahead and call the roll, please.
You daily.
Providing these dollars to the Oregon Workers Relief Fund is part of an equitable strategic assistance effort by the city, one that directs our limited dollars to their highest use by targeting households that are still waiting for lifeline relief. Further funding the Oregon Workers Relief Fund will provide an optimal return on our investment, and I encourage my colleagues to stand with me to support immigrant Oregonians. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for bringing this forward, Commissioner Udaly. The reason I asked the mayor if he supported it is because it does reduce the amount of rainy day fund available for next year. But since he'll be in charge of the budget then too, I am happy to support it. Aye.
Ryan.
We have to support our neighbors who don't have access to federal or state unemployment benefits. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
Thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for your leadership in bringing this amendment forward. I know that this is one that's near and dear to your heart, and you've done a lot of work on it, and I'm happy to vote aye.
Wheeler.
My colleagues have given the reasons why we must support this. Commissioner Fritz is also correct. It means that we will have to dig deeper in the next fiscal year, but the reality is we have families that are desperate right now, and I believe this is an appropriate and scaled response to address the emergency. I am hopeful that the United States Congress will eventually understand that this is not a limited circumstance to Portland, Oregon, that this is a situation many, many people are struggling with here in the city of Portland, as they are in cities and communities all across the United States. So I hope they take this to heart. I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. That is Udaly 1. We'll move into Commissioner Fritz's 8 amendments. First is Fritz 1, relative to the parks and recreation protest-related damages and labor costs. Any further discussion? Keelan, please call the roll.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Yes, aye. The amendment is adopted. Fritz, number three is Parks and Recreation Pioneer Courthouse Square Restroom Services. Any further discussion?
Isn't that number two?
I'm sorry. Thank you, Commissioner Udaly. Yes, it's Fritz, number two. Thank you. Please call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Fritz, number three is the Office of Equity and Human Rights Citywide Equity Training. Any further discussion on this item? Keelan, please call the roll.
Udaly?
I strongly support OEHR's results-based accountability work. My office participated in the full training and has worked with our bureaus to implement RBA in our work. However, given our financial situation, I can't support this amendment. No.
Fritz?
Well, this amendment benefits small offices by financing the training. It also provides the training for the tribal relations program that is desperately needed. Aye.
Ryan?
I'm a firm believer in results-based accountability, and as this investment will be a multiplier in our city's effectiveness, it is clearly an excellent use of city resources. Aye.
Hardesty? Commissioner Hardesty.
I'm very concerned with the ongoing cost that we are are taking on without, I think, a very thoughtful plan about what the outcomes are that will be achieved. I absolutely believe and support additional staff in the Tribal Relations Office. And I do know that we've just added additional staff into the Office of Equity and Human Rights. I'm a big fan of the work that they do, but this proposal was presented very last minute, and it's committing us to positions into the future that we don't know that we'll have the resources to continue. I hate making promises that we cannot keep, and this, I believe, is one of those promises. Therefore, I vote no.
Wheeler?
I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. Fritz, number four, the OEHR Small Bureau Equity Manager. Any further discussion? Please call the roll, Keelan.
Udaly?
Well, I do support this increase because the position will serve multiple small bureaus that don't have the funding to have their own equity managers, and obviously equity is a critical ongoing issue at the city, and we need to do better, and we need to do it more consistently across our entire enterprise. I vote yes.
Fritz?
Aye.
Ryan?
Small bureaus need this shared investment. I vote aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Fritz, number five, extend four park seasonal maintenance workers and fleet rentals for downtown service zone for 8 weeks. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Fritz, number six, OEHR Equity Data Analyst to support PPB. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Udaly?
Well, we have a lot of work to do as a city on police accountability, as we all know. I am not convinced that this position is the most effective way to do that work. Although I do hope the city will fund this position eventually when more resources are available. No.
Fritz?
This budget is, this budget adjustment is, have, now ha- we'll have two new ways of providing equity advice and work guided by the Office of Equity and Human Rights, but with two new mechanisms. So this one, answering to Dr. Markeisha Smith and providing analysis in the Police Bureau, I think is a really exciting change that was recommended by the Police Bureau's equity manager, and so I'm happy to support it. Aye.
Ryan.
We need objective data as we move forward in implementing racial justice and police reforms so our decisions can be rooted in evidence. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
We hired six data analysts as part of the Department of Justice settlement agreement into Portland Police Bureau already. My experience has been that it is absolutely impossible to get data outside of Portland Police Bureau about what the outcomes are that they have without outside people actually doing the analysis. We see that through audits. We've seen that through the OIR group reports. I think that this is a aspirational position that we cannot afford at this time, because there's no clear indication that Portland Police Bureau will provide the data necessary to do any kind of equity analysis. I vote no.
Wheeler.
I vote aye for exactly the same reasons. If we don't seek the data and we don't have independent people calling for it and demanding it, we're never going to get it. So I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. Fritz number 7, relating to the interagency loan, is there any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Happy to support this. I vote aye. The amendment's adopted. And last but not least, Fritz 8, the position authority. Any further discussion, please call the roll.
Daly.
I'm sorry, I don't recall what this amendment is.
This is the one FTE for the levy coordinator. So it's the position authority that goes
Funds
that were allocated under Fritz 7.
Okay, aye.
Fritz.
Thank you to everybody who voted in support of this levy and to all of the park supporters and the park staff, aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. We'll move on to Commissioner Hardesty's amendment. Commissioner Hardesty's amendment number 1, which is related to the reallocation of $18 million in PPB budget, reallocation to support community. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Daly.
This amendment would fund food assistance, hygiene stations, outdoor shelters, universal eviction defense, technology kits for people with disabilities, and crisis intervention training for Portland Fire and Rescue. These investments have the ability to address the destabilizing events that can lead to increased crime in a way that will not be accomplished by funding the Portland Police Bureau. This amendment would help more than 65,000 Portlanders, especially BIPOC and immigrant and refugee households, keep food on the table. We could stabilize more than 10,000 Portlanders through universal eviction defense and provide more than 300 people with disabilities assistive technology kits to access crucial services and supports online and stay connected throughout the shutdown. This funding, these services are critical to our community, and they are what the community, they represent what the community is demanding from us in this moment. I vote yes.
Fritz.
That's a nice dog. Breaks the tension a bit. We agree on the vision for community safety in Portland. We all want the right professionals responding to people experiencing challenges, whether they're experiencing mental health crises, had a car stolen, are the victim of domestic violence, or living outside. We all want to stop disparate treatments of people of color and people experiencing disabilities, including mental health care challenges. We all want to stop disparate treatments of people in the LGBTQ+ community. We all want police officers who treat everyone with respect, who respond quickly to investigate crimes, who are steeped in the values of all communities in Portland, and who use the minimum force necessary in every situation. We all want more housing and more safe shelter for people who live outside and for families who are unable to keep up with the cost of living in our city. We want health care for all, including mental health care services, and better access for those who need them. We agree on values. We disagree on how to achieve these goals and the timing of making changes. So let's acknowledge the stress being experienced in our communities with the pandemic, the resulting economic disaster for many families, the Black Lives Matter movement, and the elections and protests related to it on our minds. Now is the time to be kind to each other, to try to find agreement, to work together to address the many challenges we face, including but not limited to public safety. Let's learn from the past. We cut police positions during the Great Recession. The resulting low staffing 10 years later is partly responsible for so much overtime being needed now to cover minimum patrols and response times. Further back, closing mental health hospitals in the 1980s and 90s seemed like a good idea at the time. People had been warehoused in state hospitals for extended periods, and it was acknowledged that providing care in the community would be more humane. So damaged state hospital and other institutions were closed. The problem was, and is, that community care is woefully inadequate. Some people are worse off than when the state hospitals had more capacity. Commissioner Hardesty has been in charge of the Portland Street response for a year. And despite her due diligence and working really hard to get it implemented, and also allocation of $4.8 million, over a year later, it's still not up and running because it takes time to figure out how to provide community services. Cutting the police budget with only vague concepts of alternative first responders would result in people in need of public safety responders getting little or no help at all. We received a letter from the Coalition of Advisory Groups to the Portland Police Bureau, representing the African American Advisory Council, the Alliance for Safer Communities, the Behavioral Health Unit Advisory Council, the Latino Advisory Council, the Muslim Advisory Council, the Slavic Advisory Council, and the Training Advisory Council. They wrote us a letter expressing deep concerns about a number of issues related to the current situation in our city. On police reform, they wrote, "Criminal justice reform, not just police reform, should be conducted with participation of all interested parties. The police reform action plan that you, Mayor Wheeler, proposed earlier this year lists some actions, but the plan was developed without broad input from the community and lacks substance. If we are serious in making profound changes and addressing problems of the justice system, we need to have a comprehensive discussion with participation of representatives of all marginalized, disadvantaged, and underrepresented communities. It is important that government agencies know who the community leaders are and engage them in the criminal justice reform. Portlanders should be given opportunities to say what changes they want, what programs and services they need, so that communities are safe and thriving. Ample time should be allowed to have a thorough and transparent discussion. Hasty actions taken in the heat of the moment, despite the best of intentions that may underlie them, are inherently fraught with unforeseen consequences to public safety and communal peace, and may result in a community that is fractured rather than healed and united. The reform should include provisions for Portland Police Bureau accountability through using data that will help identify those actions and practices that disproportionately impact people of color, the houseless population, the LGBTQ plus community, people experiencing mental behavioral health issues, immigrants, and other groups which face systemic biases within our society." Those were really wise words. They also wrote, "We need a systemic approach. The current issues are not just with police. The entire justice system needs to be fixed. If police officers misbehave, it's the system that allows it. We need to change the system, which will include more transparency and accountability, equity in education, revamping police training, and restoring youth programs. Judicial system, however, also needs to revise its procedures to make sure that the efforts of the retrained police to bring peace and well-being are not met with failed follow-through tactics." I agree with these wise words. There must be a plan for an inclusive, ongoing process that brings community, police, and others to the table to discuss public safety. The process should engage both longtime leaders, activists, officers, and staff, and also the new voices recently engaging in community organizing and actions. It should include Black, Indigenous, and people of color Portlanders and immigrants. It should include people who have experienced disabilities, including mental illness, and those who have been personally affected by police actions, both helpful and harmful. It must be ongoing, with sincere commitment from participants to strive for authentic understanding and genuine relationship building. The Western States Center recently conducted two workshops for City Council and Bureau directors on racism and police accountability that exemplified the way the process could work. Representative Jeff Reardon also wrote to us. He said, "When reading the five strategies in Commissioner Hardesty's proposal, I became very concerned about the sequence of the work more than the individual strategies, which I support. The overall proposal appears to address downtown concerns about riot control, vandalism, and support for peaceful protests, which of course are all critical. It appears to fail, however, to address the impacts of the vast majority of the city that is outside the core. Primarily, I am concerned that you would first choose to reduce and limit the size and scope of the police. I grant that doing so provides funding for other strategies, but it has real-world implications in my district, which includes Lentz and Powell-Hurst-Gilbert neighborhoods. In our part of town, my constituents have lost businesses, can't walk sidewalks, witness drug and prostitution daily, have long waits for police response to urgent 911 calls, and much more. The proposal did not include anything about the metrics used to measure police department performance, nor did it comment on how the level of staffing and funding compares to cities of similar size and demographics. If you find Portland's staffing and performance to be comparable, I still urge you to delay this first step until other strategies have been implemented." So he mentioned delay. Last week, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Ryan, and I did not delay the vote. We expressed our desire to adhere to the regular schedule for this vote and have additional analysis of proposed amendments. Now, we have the City Budget Office's independent confirmation that proposed cuts would cause layoffs of newly hired police officers representing diverse communities and experiences. We've also heard from Portland voters. Mayor Wheeler will be the first two-term mayor this century, and he will be mayor for the next 4 years. He has the right to assign bureaus and leave the bureaus he assigns to himself. Excuse me. Violence and criminal activity at protests that deflects attention from the meaningful conversations that need to happen is not helpful. Making requests and recommendations in the form of demands is not helpful. These actions make it harder to find a way forward. I believe there should be a full public process to engage the broad range of Portlanders in figuring out next steps for community safety in our shared city. It should happen in conjunction with the fiscal year 2021-22 budget process. We can get to our shared goals if we work together and seek consensus on the council with willingness to listen, understand, and address the concerns of people with different perspectives and experiences. And by the way, next year's council will be the most diverse in history, which is a very good thing for those for that council to be making decisions. We all want an inclusive city. Let's work together to plan how to achieve our shared goals and live our values. I can't support cutting the police budget further before there is an inclusive community process, a plan to make changes via attrition rather than layoffs, and adequate public service safety services in place to help Portlanders in need. No.
Ryan.
Thank you. At a time when our country is more polarized than it has been in generations, we must remember no situation is without nuance. Today's vote is no exception. 2 weeks ago, at the work session dedicated to the fall budget monitoring process, I asked my colleagues to name their three priorities at this time. We all named houselessness, public safety, and economic uncertainty. The mayor in his role provided a draft budget. At the end of the session, Commissioner Hardesty made it clear she did not approve and would offer an alternative. So here we are. During my campaign for office earlier this year, I made repeated calls for a peace summit between police and protesters. And now as an elected official, I realize that we may also need a peace summit amongst ourselves. In these divisive times, we must be intentional about building bridges. I have worked extensively over the last 15 years on issues of racial justice and equity with people across the entire spectrum of our city to try to find common ground and innovative solutions to complex problems. The budget projections for next year are uncertain. This will encourage us to collaborate, streamline, leverage public assets like never before. The need for services is projected to increase while resources continue to decrease. Meanwhile, many of the city's direct service partners are stretched beyond their limits. In the face of a pandemic, we are all experiencing fatigue and, yes, mental health challenges on all levels. As a council, we need to come together. And I believe this means including the chair and the commissioners serving Multnomah County. Creating budgets and government silos, especially around issues impacting an entire community's safety and well-being, won't work in these uncertain times. Together, we must build a community safety system and efficient response to food and shelter for our most vulnerable residents. As we heard from both the police chief and the budget office, this $18 million proposal is a threat to our current public safety. It is our responsibility to work together and to meet the demands of constituents and present a plan that is impactful, grounded in data, sound budgeting, and community engagement. And when I say community engagement, I mean reaching out to the community and bridging the gap between equity and access to City Hall like never before. This will also take intention and collaboration between the council offices and the bureaus. I ask that we consider, who are we not hearing from? How can we engage them? These questions and the work to answer them will be crucial as we work towards a public safety system that works for everyone. We are all aware the community en masse called for cuts to the police bureau last summer. A response was most recently reflected in the passing of a police oversight committee measure this last week. Hats off to Commissioner Hardesty for championing this measure, and I was delighted to be a part of that team. During the 2021 budget process, my colleagues also took action. First, with the mayor's direction to the police bureau to make $11.8 million in reductions, then the council's move to reduce the police bureau's budget by another $15 million, resulting in a total of more than $27 million this fiscal year, a fiscal year that we're just into in month five. Chief Lavelle was newly appointed during this turbulent time for the city. Just last June, he took on the new role amidst increasing violence and navigating the cuts assigned to the bureau. It is my lived experience that leaders need appropriate time to adjust, redirect, and rebuild in these situations. We need to give Chief Lavelle the opportunity to show us how the reforms from last summer look as we enter the 21-22 budget conversations. Increasing stress and tension between now and then and setting unrealistic expectations in an already challenging time will not produce the results we all want to see. It is also important to mention viable alternative strategies to our current policing model are not yet in place. My team asked questions and expressed concerns about the numbers and the potential impacts, including layoffs. But ultimately, we received an unvetted final proposal with no clear plan for implementation. On Tuesday, the City Budget Office provided members of the council with their analysis of the proposed cuts, and they indicate that it is, and I quote, likely that the Bureau would need to reduce staff to balance to this level of a reduction. What's more, Portland Street Response will not be operational until 2021, and it will begin in the Lentz neighborhood, and that is a great place to start. Yet the truth is, this much needed and anticipated program will be operated citywide until 22 or 23. I keep hearing the time is now. Well, we are responding now. We are responding to long-standing calls to reform the police, to an unprecedented global health crisis, and we are responding to the outcomes of one of the most consequential elections in generations. There are multiple amendments from each of my more seasoned colleagues to address the priorities we all agreed upon during the work session, including public safety. There are amendments relating to the Oregon Workers Relief Fund, Portland Street Response, the Joint Office of Homeless Services, the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and yes, the Police Bureau. As I mentioned in my comments last week, I believe our responsibility as a council is to consider every one of those options and determine how they knit together to maximize available resources and address the priorities we've all agreed upon in this time of multiple crises. As we do this work, we must remember cuts happen quickly, but building new resources that achieve proven results takes time and intention. Let's move together methodically, especially as the composite of the council will change in the near future. I am committed to an alternative police responder options and reform, but cutting an additional $18 million at a time when we have no viable alternative to fill the service gap left behind is not my idea of police reform. I am committed to reallocating available funds and putting them into the community to support equity, safety, and economic stability. That is why I'm supporting many of my colleagues' proposed amendments today. I'm committed to alternative police responder options, so I will support and advocate for funding and resources for the Portland Street Response Team. We need to ensure it is successful by scaling up their work across the city, by simultaneously scaling back the police bureau's role in interacting with our houseless neighbors. I heard my colleagues, and I agree, we need upstream investments in preventative measures. I've spent the last decade plus working toward these types of solutions. In middle schools, the majority of students represented BIPOC communities, clear disparities in discipline were negatively impacting children of color. Within the hallways in the classroom, a societal problem was painfully revealed. I knew that the data in those schools didn't lie, just like I know the data does not lie when those middle school kids become adults and they are victims of racial bias and brutality by the police. There is strong research to show Portland's crowd control practices in 2020 are outdated and costly. Also, poor decision-making and inequitable policing practices are directly and negatively impacting people of color. My point is these complex times require new and complex policies and practices. It will take work, time, and persistent attention from all of us. While it's true the community called for additional cuts last summer, there are no alternative options or ready programs to ensure the safety of our community if an additional $18 million in reduction is approved at this time. I have hope for what our team can do moving together. This time, the time to take aligned and strategic action is not just now, it'll continue through this budget cycle and beyond. Action is now for police reform, for a houselessness action plan, and for economic justice. As we build forward in this pandemic, our city deserves concrete and tangible results. So here we are. The vote for today on this specific amendment is no.
Hardesty.
On May 28th, people took to the street in droves. And they took to the street because once again, a black man was killed at the hands of a police officer. Anyone who thinks that it was about Mr. Floyd's death is living in a bubble. It is a cumulative impact of race bias policing identified by the city auditor over and over and over again, identified in other outside evaluations over and over and over again. Something amazing happened in June. This city council listened to the people and collectively got behind a set of cuts that we all can agree had racially biased outcomes from the very beginning of those programs. Since that time, Portland Police has elected to not solve crimes they've elected to tell community members that because their budget was cut by $15 million, they can't respond. They can't respond to domestic violence calls. They can't respond to windows being broken out. They can't respond to robberies. Their budget is over $200 million, yet because of a $15 million cut, they found themselves unable to solve crimes. Portland Police has one basic job, and it is to solve crime. And they're not that good at it. Since the DOJ came to town in 2012, we have spent over $30 million additional dollars retraining Portland police officers, having community listening sessions, sitting around tables and talking about what reform could look like. And here we are, $30+ million later, and guess what? We still have a police force that believes it is not answerable to elected officials. It believes that they get to decide what the resources are that they have, and they get to pick and choose where they use their resources. It will never be a good use of public resources having 30 Portland police officers protecting the Portland Police Association's building. Yet when crime is happening, the response from the public, and this has happened ever since June. There, what we've heard clearly from the tens of thousands of people that have taken to the street, from the 700 people who testified in June, the over 200 people who testified just last week, we are hearing a consistent message, which is, police do not make us safe. What makes us safe is investing in community. To say that Portland Street Response will ever replace police is someone who just doesn't know what they're talking about. There's never been an intent for Portland Street Response to replace police. The vision has always been that we could have a more compassionate, empathetic community response to people who are houseless, rather than spending our resources arresting more than 50% of people who are houseless, as Portland Police has done over the last 2 years. What the people have asked us is not to study, not to create new training programs, not to bring everybody to the table. We've had lots and lots and lots of tables. I will say the African American Advisory Committee, if it has more than three people on it 20 years later, I'd be shocked. That's been a dysfunctional committee for over 20 years. I'd be shocked if there's more than three people on it and if they've been paying attention to what's been happening here at City Hall. But this is what I know. I have been doing this work for 30 years. And this council said that they were prioritizing BIPOC voices, right? The voices of experience in attempting to reform, adjust, and reimagine. I am disappointed that my colleagues cannot envision a life where police only solve crimes and don't spend the bulk of their time harassing people who are houseless or mentally ill or without other resources. We had an opportunity to really invest in keeping people in their homes, keeping them fed. And while we know nobody actually wants to be a Portland police officer nowadays, to reimagine what we as a community want policing to look like. I can tell you, and by the way, Dr. John Jay has had conversations with Multnomah County Board of Commissioners. The mayor was in that conversation. The DA was in that conversation. Anybody that thinks that my focus is merely on the police you really have not been paying attention. Our whole criminal justice system is dysfunctional, racially unjust, and provides consistently racially disparate outcomes. I've been around for a long time, and I didn't need a title to be involved and engaged. I just was, because it was necessary. So over and over and over again since May, we've heard this community voice that gave us a really clear mandate that we rethink what community safety looks like. What does it look like when you're poor? What does it look like when you're not white? What does it look like when you have no or limited resources? That's what you have been compelled, at least I've been compelled, what you've been asked to do. But instead, we want to use the traditional governmental approach. Let's have more studies. Let's bring more people to the table. Let's not do something radically different. Let's not think differently until we have different other things in place. What we know is this pandemic has taught us that the community can rely on community members to provide mutual aid support. What this pandemic has shown us, and has really made clear to anybody but the most blind individual around, is that racially inadequate outcomes are systemic in every single governmental entity that we have. I did not come here to play polite, did not come here to sing kumbaya. I came here to make a difference in people's life every single day. And when a community demands it, I stretch myself more. I don't tell them, this is not the time for that conversation. This is not the day for us to discuss this. I knew when we were passing the resolutions that Black lives wouldn't matter long, and it would not be the centerpiece of what it was we as a city would do if we did not take advantage of every opportunity that we have at the moment. And we haven't. On election night, Portlanders overwhelmingly voted for a new police accountability system by over 80%. Portlanders continue to speak loud and clearly that policing the way we're doing it does not work. And yes, the mayor was reelected, barely. And yes, we have a new colleague coming in. And yes, I'm thrilled that Commissioner-elect Rubio will be joining us in January. But it is disingenuous to say we should wait till they show up. Each of us was elected to lead in this moment. Not next year, not next week, but in this moment. I've heard some things today that truly disappoint me. But I want to be really clear. I have spent my time since May having those community conversations. I've had the privilege of working with Wyden and Kennedy to develop a communication campaign around Rethink Portland. I have talked to hundreds of Portlanders, new organizers, elders, people have been working on this stuff for 30 plus years, and the community is ready. Unfortunately, our leadership isn't yet. I wish I could say that I am surprised by the outcome of this amendment today, but I'm not. I wish I could tell you that it's going to be easier when we have to make the major cuts that we have to make next year. It won't be. Portland Police is already $4 million over their budget. I have no desire and won't ever vote to give them another penny in this year's budget, because nothing that's on the table today will make them live within their means. It is disappointing that the status quo will reassert itself in this process. So we'll continue to talk about Black lives, but we won't actually do anything to make Black lives better. we'll keep talking about let's do transformation, but let's talk about it first and who didn't come to the table. These tables have been open and expansive and all of you have been invited and you've chosen not to come. Our role as elected leaders is not to pretend that if we're not singing Kumbaya, that somehow we're spreading fear. I'm spreading a vision of what's possible. I'm spreading a vision that our community has clearly told us is what they want. When we originally proposed this $18 million cut, it was based on the 44 retirements that didn't include the sergeants because the Department of Justice settlement agreement doesn't allow us to cut sergeants. It was based on some very specific strategic cuts. When we got pushback, we said, okay, we'll just leave the number. Tell us what the $18 million will. Tell us where you'd cut $18 million. And as you can expect, Portland Police immediately, we're gonna have to cut staff. When Chief LaBelle called these potential cuts to the Bureau devastating, I want to be clear, police violence is also devastating. What I've seen over the last 160 plus days has been terrifying. Something I never thought I would see in Portland. I want you to know that your vote against this amendment means that the status quo continues on. Black people will continue to be over-policed. Houseless people will continue to be arrested at over 50% of the arrests that Portland Police Bureau will continue to make. And Portlanders will be continuing to deal with the lasting devastation of an over-aggressive police force who believes that they don't have a boss. BIPOC communities have been at the forefront of these demands for reinvestment. And we can't keep talking about how we as a city are committed to centering BIPOC voices, but not actually do it when it counts. I want to appreciate everyone who called, emailed, provided testimony, took to the street to demand your changes, be soundly heard. I want to appreciate my community partners who worked hard to help us reimagine what community safety could be. And that includes Unite Oregon, Imagine Black, the Portland Metro People's Coalition. And lastly, I want to thank Commissioner Udaly, because Commissioner Udaly didn't have to. There was nothing in it for her to support the amendment that I presented. It wasn't something people were demanding that she jump on board to. But she, like I, have listened to the cries and the demands of our community. And we responded. That's what elected leaders are supposed to do. Commissioner Udaly, I'm gonna miss you. Because even though you and I don't agree on everything, our values are so aligned. And we know that when it counts, we stepped up for our community. I look forward to continuing what we started in June. The people have spoken, they're watching, and I'm pretty sure that they're just as disappointed as I am with the lack of courage in this historic moment where just for a second, Black Lives Mattered in Portland. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Thank you, colleagues. I appreciate your thoughtful comments this afternoon. I can't support this amendment and I intend to vote against it, but I also want to take just a few moments to explain why, because Portlanders deserve for this conversation to be completely transparent. In terms of process and the integrity of our debates, I'm very troubled that this proposal was not shared with our independent city budget office for review or analysis. They are our budget watchdog by design, and they were not given the chance to weigh in. Without their input, we were not able to nail down even the most basic facts about this proposal. For example, last week, we heard from the proponents that this would not require layoffs. It turns out that is completely wrong. It will require layoffs, potentially significant layoffs. This is not just a minor detail. This is a critical piece of information that the council had the right to know. But at the end of the day, this is a discussion about values, not about process. So that's where I want to focus the balance of my remarks, on the values. I am grateful to the many Portlanders who've written my office, who've called, who've approached me, my colleagues' offices, the city budget office, and the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing to give their perspectives. As mayor, I have both the responsibility as well as the privilege to hear and read this testimony, these deeply personal stories from residents of our city, and to learn more about the community work that's bringing the people of this city to the table. I've met and I continue to meet with residents, local businesses, mission-driven organizations, and elected officials from Multnomah County, neighboring counties, the state, and the federal government to learn, align, and coordinate our collective work to change and improve the criminal justice system and the legal system. The testimony we've heard has been clear from all corners. The status quo is unacceptable. Many Portlanders and most of the people who testified about this particular item do not trust the criminal justice system as it stands today. And they do not trust the Portland Police Bureau. There are many ways that we can change the status quo to stop the criminalization of the poor and those experiencing houselessness, to stop the over-policing of communities who are Black, Indigenous, and people of color, to end the use of excessive force against those with physical disabilities or overcoming mental health challenges. I'm committed to preventing and interrupting these patterns of injustice. And I've been reflecting of late on a piece of testimony that quoted Nobel Peace Prize winner Desmond Tutu. And the quote was this: "There comes a point where we need to stop just pulling people out of the river. We need to go upstream and find out why they're falling in. We need to identify the root of our problems and to identify and invest in upstream solutions." I believe we succeed in changing the status quo by continuing these conversations and phasing investments in a wide array of services, policies, programs, and skill sets that prevent and interrupt harm and promote healing. I'm grateful for all the community testimony that we received. It will inform the execution of my 19-point police reform action plan and the city's vision for rebuilding our community safety system and help us to identify new on-ramps for community engagement. It will inform our discussions that are ongoing with a variety of coalitions throughout the community and around the state that focus on the needs and the interests of the BIPOC community. Again, I want to thank my colleagues for their commitment, for their passion on this issue. Respectfully, I vote no on this amendment. The amendment fails. The next item is Hardesty 2. This is regarding returning one-time resources allocated to ECC houselessness and hygiene response to the Portland Street Response Policy set aside. Any further discussion on this item? Keelan, please call the roll.
Daly.
Aye.
Fritz.
No.
Ryan.
No.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
No, the amendment fails. Hardesty 35FTE in the Bureau of Emergency Communications for the Portland Street Response Senior Dispatch position.
Mayor, I withdraw the rest of my amendments.
Any objections? Withdrawn by the sponsor. And then I need that stack over there. No, I didn't have the list.
I misspoke. I withdraw number 2, not number 3.
You'd like to call the roll then on Amendment 3?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's for the FTE in the Bureau of Emergency Communications. Any further discussion for Hardesty 3? Please call the roll.
Daly.
Aye.
Prince.
No, I think this should be done in the regular budget process.
Ryan.
We need to build the Portland Street response capacity to serve our communities as quickly as possible. It's going to be a longer road than any of us want it to be, and this investment is clearly one that places that we have a good, that we have a start. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
There's a lot of good justification for this capacity in the Bureau of Emergency Communications. Definitely it's leading infrastructure for the Portland Street Response Program. Regardless, there is still a personnel shortage in our call center that leads to some increase in the call times. My thinking is we need to continue to build that capacity in the Bureau of Emergency Communications. We've done a good job over the last couple of years of increasing that capacity and reducing the response time. I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. And then to my 6 amendments, the first amendment is community-led reinvestment initiative directive language update. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
You, Daly.
I'm sorry, which amendment was this?
Mayor 1, it's the proposed bump that includes a new allocation of $1.9 million in ongoing recreational cannabis tax and okay. 1.5, it's
got
basically
it.
A required technical amendment.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Ryan.
I'm proud to support Reimagine Oregon to have an immediate impact on dismantling systems of oppression and in executing restorative justice. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
I was very privileged to be included in the discussions with Reimagine Oregon. I want to give them a shout out for orchestrating what I thought was a very well orchestrated, well organized, thoughtful discussion. It brought together a broad coalition from all around the state. And it was really an exceptional example of all of us holding each other accountable. And we made a commitment. This fulfills part of that commitment. I'm proud to vote aye. The amendment is adopted. Amendment 2 is transfer funding for Solve contract from HUCRP to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Any further discussion on this item? Please call the roll.
You, Daly.
I don't know if my name was called.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Got cut. Okay, it's hard to hear you, Keelan. Aye.
Prince.
Aye.
Ryan.
The small investment in expanding volunteer capacity will go a long way in having a positive impact on our city. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
I have loved participating in these events. The second to the last one that I did maybe 2 months ago attracted almost 600 volunteers. They actually couldn't take any more volunteers. They had about 400 people on standby who wanted to participate. I'm very, very proud that the city has a strong partner in Sullivan. I'm happy to support this. The amendment is adopted. Wheeler Amendment 3 is the downtown retail advocate position with downtown clean and safe. Any further discussion on this item? Please call the roll.
Mayor, really, really quickly, I want to check in with our city attorney. I do believe we might need to vote on the amendment to the amendment.
I thought we already put the amendment on the table.
We did that earlier.
So, Mayor, you need to vote on the amendment to fix the number.
Oh, okay. So we put it on the table. Is that all we did?
Correct.
Okay. Very good. So the amendment was to change the dollar amount from $20,000 to $25,000. The amendment to the amendment is on the table. Any further discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment to the amendment is adopted. Please call the roll on the main motion.
Udaly.
Which one are we on?
This is the underlying motion. So this is Amendment 3, and we just amended Amendment 3. And so we're voting
sorry,
on
sorry, this is a little
yeah, it gets convoluted aye. Very quickly.
All right. Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Amendment 3 is adopted as amended. Amendment 4 is the partnership with CARE Oregon to develop comprehensive approach to sobering, addiction recovery, and behavioral health response. This is a reallocation. Any further discussion? Please call the roll, Keelan.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Amendment 5, we have already amended it. Did we vote on, we actually voted on the actual amendment? Legal counsel, I'm looking to you, or do we need to also vote on the amendment?
I'm not aware that you need to vote on this amendment.
No. So we already modified the dollar figure earlier. Was that just putting it on the table, or do we need to vote on that amendment to the amendment?
I'm
just trying to be parallel. And I mean, if we had to vote on the last one, it seems like we need to vote on this. Sorry?
No, you've already made a motion. You seconded and it passed.
No.
You're voting on the underlying.
No, that's not accurate. We made a motion to put it on the table, did we not?
This is Keelan. I have in my records that you voted on the amendment to the amendment. Yes, passed.
Okay, yes. Good. Great. I just wasted all the time we would have saved. All right. So Amendment 5, which is transferring management of the PPB housing and services contract from the service coordination team to the Joint Office of Homeless Services as amended. Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted as amended. And Amendment 6, the final one, is Cal Target adjustment for bureaus with new ongoing general fund allocations authorized in the fall bump. Any further discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll. Oh, I have one more. Okay, so call the roll on this one, please.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Amendment 6 passes. And the last one is Amendment 7, fund the ECC food security program and additional support for downtown businesses using available funds and policy set aside for the future sobering center. That's the one I put on the table earlier. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. So this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading as amended. Legal counsel, anything else we need to button down before we adjourn?
No, I think you've got everything.
All right, Keelan, anything else?
No, I think we're done.
All right, thank you, colleagues. We are adjourned.